That was never a gospel. That's a thought, that's a feeling, that's a direction. And the direction is, you go out there and get rich, because I've trained you that whatever you get, I get. That's all it's saying. No, our church doesn't govern itself that way. Our church is interested in two things. One is training the body to do the work of the ministry, and the other is to be able to present the body mature before God. A mature body is a body that has looked at leaven, understood the bad leaven and the good leaven, say, no, we don't want none of that bad stuff. No, 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 no. Now see, I said bad leaven, there's also good leaven. Number three says, Jesus warns his disciple regarding bad leaven. He's telling them, in this text right here, he says, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Those Pharisees, I tell you, they wrote the book on hypocrisy. And unfortunately, brother, we got some ghost writers today that are writing it as well. I mean, hypocrisy is having its way in our homes, on our jobs, in the church. And Jesus cannot stand hypocrisy. Oh, he despises it like never before. And the more I understand how much he despises that, the more afraid I am of being a hypocrite. Because if whatever Jesus hates, I better start trying to hate that. Because if Jesus hates it, and yet I'm living it, and don't have a problem with living it, I need to check myself, as that old song say, before I what? Well, we got some old people in here. Jesus is telling them, beware of those hypocrites and those Herodians, as they call them. He says, beware of them too. And after he told them, to show you how much they listen, it says, and after he told them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And then they began to discuss with one another the fact they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? So when Jesus is telling you, giving you answers for life, why in the world are you discussing something that really, now it's important what you're saying, but the problem is you forgot a lot about what you're talking about. Now, Jesus, they're talking about what? What are those disciples talking about? That no bread. They forgot the bread. And Jesus had to do what? Remind them about what he did with the bread. Now, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not too smart here, but we're talking about leaven, right? And leaven is used to make the dough rise, right? So it's going to multiply that dough into a larger batch, and it has the probability, two probabilities, don't get me wrong now. If it's good leaven, it's going to be a good batch of bread, right? If it's a bad batch, it's going to be a bad batch of bread, right? So what appears to him, Jesus is cutting them off and says, wait a minute, it sounds as though you're getting in this bad leaven. Why? Because you're forgetting that I'm the best leaven you'll ever encounter. I made 4 loaves feed 5,000 people. How much leaven do I need to be? If you can't understand that, if you can't remember that, if you can't visualize that, what? You definitely must be hard of seeing. Then he broke it down a little more and said, how many baskets was it? Really? And the reason why he asked them, because they were the ones that were either passing out the bread from the baskets or collecting the bread to put them back in the baskets. Now, grant you now, the first time they were actually baskets. The second time they were barrels. So he had barrels full of bread. So we got some situations going on in our life, right? We're talking to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, but yet we have the nerves to be focusing so much on our problem and not on Jesus. We say, yeah, but I prayed about it. Yeah, but did you do it with supplication? In other words, when you prayed, did you remember what Jesus had already done for you? Did that come across your mind at any point in time? Now, Brother Mike just went through a situation, right? He had cancer, right? But he went to our pastor. And as he went to our pastor reminded himself as to what, listen, you won't want to miss this. He reminded himself as to what one of his other parishioners had gone through, and he said to him, you need to talk to Elder Berry. Elder Berry has already gone through the whole cancer process of prostate. He can walk you through the process. Instead of a pastor forgetting what I went through, Brother Mike probably would have been on his own. And I'm going to tell you, men, it's unfortunate, but when we go through those things, we tend to move out of the house when we get cancer. Or bad diagnosis from a doctor, we do tend to move out. Why? We tend to forget who we are and whose we are. We tend to move out. Physically, we're there. But spiritually and mentally, we've moved out. We've moved out to the most dangerous place any human being should move to. It's called the island of self. Because we have not moored ourselves, as Hebrews 2 said, because we have not moored ourselves securely to Jesus, we allow ourselves with our worry and our concerns to slip away and be carried out to that island. And on that island, in our mind, in our spirit, Jesus is nowhere to be found. Even though he is there, but to us, he's not there. And so Jesus wanted his disciples to see and to understand, don't you slip away. I need to remind you, no matter how hungry you are. Now, grant you now, they were not even talking about bread for the masses. They're just talking about for themselves. For themselves. So Jesus take 3 loaves and feed 4,000 for the thousands of people. Now it's only 12 and y'all fighting more. What? Really? So unbelief. Faith began to wander. Am I saying anything to anyone here? Because many of us are challenged severely in our faith, in our beliefs. And we ought not be. Because it's too sad of a situation when Christians on a weekly basis walk through the doors of the church as victims, not as victors. Jesus wants us to be victors. But just as salvation, the only way you were able to be saved is you had to believe and accept Jesus as Lord. He did the hard part. And he's telling us again and again, your life don't have to be the way that it is. You're one yes, Lord, away from your life being changed. Just one. Yes, Lord. Yes to thy will. Yes to thy way. Yes, Lord. Have your way in me. Remember, as I said earlier, if you don't, because this is not really about you as it relates to just walking physically on earth. This is about you. As long as you are a victim, you cannot teach victoriously living to anyone else. All of us are like firemen. We really are. We're walking about around so many houses that are on fire. And we just happen to be the only fire person in the vicinity. But because of our doubt, because of our lack of faith, because of us allowing our so-called heavily infected lives to take over us and lead us and guide us, or the company that we keep, we allow ourselves to pass by that house and people are perishing. God saved us for a reason. He saved us that we may work in the vineyard and multiply ourselves. Amen? So letter A said that Jesus knows when our faith is challenged. And as I said earlier about the text, he heard in their conversation that their faith was being challenged. And so Jesus had to remind them what he had already done. Amen? And letter B says the Pharisees were a small but infectious group. They weren't that large. They didn't have an army. They were small compared to those that were not Pharisees. They were minute. Just as leaven in itself is the smallest packet you'll ever pour into a batch of dough. And as I said earlier, look what it tends to do to the bread. And so if you have a small batch of hypocrites in your life, all it takes is one. It's all it takes. And that one hypocrite can destroy everything. Many of us, in fact, all of us, after today, will be without excuse when it comes to looking and seeing who hypocrites are and dealing with them accordingly. We're out without excuse. Yeah, I had bad friends growing up who gave me bad advice. One of the worst person I had give me bad advice really was my father. He did it as a hypocrite. He told me as a young man, you, my four brothers, you guys need to go out and be men and work. You want your Christmas gift? Yeah. You got to work for it. I'm 10. Brothers 9, 1, 8, 1, 11, 1, 12, or 13. You all got to work for your Christmas gifts. Okay. And he's going to be the treasurer. So we get the money. Bring it to him. He's the treasurer. At the end of the day, when Christmas time comes, you want a bike, you got a bike. Now that seems pretty interesting, right? You say, okay, where's the hypocrisy? The hypocrisy was this. At age 10, my daddy wasn't working. But if you want to go retrospect, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Same story. Daddy wasn't working. My daddy never had a job. He figured his sons, no matter what their age was, would take care of him. And so he actually did teach me, by being a hypocrite, what a man should be. And it made me put myself on a mission early in life. Young men, young women, your mission should not deviate far from mine. It should be the same one. Young man, your mission is to be a better father, better man, better husband than your father. Young ladies, same mission, only for your mother. And when I got older, I had a conversation with my father, and I told him about my mission. But it hurt me to say the last thing I said. I said, Dad, the only problem I had with my mission is that you made it too easy for me to beat you. So I had to look at other men. Hypocrisy. He seemed like a good guy, but yet he had us working when he wouldn't work, and then had the audacity to steal the funds. He taught me at age 10 what the word embezzlement was. Now, we got retired law enforcement here. I got to confess to a crime. Well, wait a minute. Where's the, is the key around? I need the key to hear this. Is it a crime to realize embezzlement is going on? Oh, you guys ever watched that TV show, Leverage, from back in the day? Oh, Leverage was, they had these thieves. Their only job was to go in and infiltrate other corporations that have knowingly stole from people, and their job is to steal that stuff back and give it back to the people. No, they're not giving it to the poor. They're giving it back to the people who was money was actually stolen from. So they could have cast me for that show. I'm not kidding you, because at age 10, I understood that my father was stealing from me, and I became a lock pick. I can pick a lock, right? Knew where he put the money. Is there a crime to steal your own money back? That's what I had to do. But what I'm saying is this. Hypocrites come in all packages, all sizes, and all titles, as well as evildoers. Evildoers do not come in the context of a person who's evil. All you have to do is watch those crime channels, and you'll see about John Wayne Gacy. You'll see about Ted Bundy. None of those individuals displayed any evil from the outside. That is why it's so imperative that you hear what's being said today, because you have a blind spot in life, but prayerfully you're around someone who loves you enough that will tell you that individual is not who you think it is. And you have to hear them and listen to them. And they may even be the right person, but it may be the wrong time. When you start talking about life, time is important. Things have to happen in context of time as well. It says in 1b, it says on still number 3, their hypocrisy could seep into the hearts of the disciples. Yes, it could. If they are talking about no bread, don't forget, a couple of verses over, they were questioning Jesus, the Pharisees, about giving them a sign from heaven. So they were there when they said that. They were also there with the answer that Jesus gave them. But yet, they're now acting in the same light as though they forgot what Jesus had already done. Letter C says, the Herodians likewise were infectious with sin. Young people in general, if anyone is close to you, no matter how much you love them, if they are led more by sin than the Holy Spirit, here's an alert. Get away. Get away. Examine their lives. Examine the lives of your friends. Examine the lives of those who have influence over you. They can infect you. Slow down every ounce of progress that you may have in life. Number 4 says, bad leaven can affect us in many areas. Jesus said to them, he says, do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Letter A says, it can affect us in our hearts. We have to guard our hearts at all costs. I'm talking about your soul. Scripture says it's the soul that sinned and it shall die. It should be the one that's separating itself from God. The most important thing we have to do is guard against it. We don't want hypocrisy and sin that comes as bad yeast to come and infect us. Because if my heart is hardened, if Jesus is telling us it's difficult for those who are walking with God in the flesh If it's difficult for them to maintain a heart that's not hardened, saints of God, we don't stand a chance. He's telling them, guard it. Don't allow this leaven to enter in. Because no matter what Jesus does for individuals, if the heart is hardened, Jesus will never get the recognition. Jesus will never get the glory. And that's not how it's supposed to be. And Jesus will not get the opportunity to lead you the way that you're supposed to be led. Also, how else does it affect us? Letter B says it affects us in our vision. Yeah, I'm wearing glasses now. In verse 18, it says, having eyes, do you not see? It could be naturally. It could also be spiritually. Do you not see Jesus in the midst of today's circumstances? Are you trying to see Jesus in the midst of today's circumstances? Where are your eyes focused as I speak? Are your eyes focused on those areas in your life that's cloudy? Or are your eyes focused on what I'm wearing? If your eyes are focused on what I'm wearing, then you need to get your eyes checked spiritually. Because the eyes should be focused on what am I going through today that is hindering me from living the life that Christ has for me? And what has Christ already done? When Christ first saved you, if you were anything like me, you were on fire. You were just exhilarated. You wanted to just go. You wanted to serve. You had complimentary words to say. You had encouraging words to say. You and I tell you, we were ready to go. But as life took its toll, and as the bad yeast began to infect us more and more, now many of us wouldn't make it through a spiritual bread factory. I like watching those TV shows, How's It Made? They get to show how all this stuff is mass-produced, like prepared food and all that kind of stuff. If many of us were to go through a How It's Made type environment, how many of us would be able to make it from production to production control when Jesus standing at the end and says, can I use this one in the vineyard? Or how many will he cast to the other side and says, I need to tear that one down and rebuild it up again? How many of us can say we can go to the good side? We're not talking salvation. We're talking being able to do what God has called us to do. In other words, how many of us have addressed our lives and we know that we can go and make disciples of other people? That's what it's all about. Amen? So what do I see? As a Christian, what do you see? Do you see souls that are hurting? Or are you too consumed with your soul that's hurting and won't see Jesus, or whom Jesus may send your way to help you through it? Also, letter C says it affects our hearing. What am I hearing now? Am I hearing the whispers of the sweet nothings that someone whispered in my ear over the weekend? Am I hearing the scores of a game? Am I hearing the realtor says yes? Am I hearing the doctor says we need more tests? What am I hearing even right now? Am I hearing that friend that wanted me to not come to church today but go hang out somewhere else and do what the flesh likes to do? What am I hearing now? Do I hear a servant of the Lord that's really trying to get my attention? Do I hear? Yeah, physically I may be H-E-R-E, but where's my soul? Is it in position to H-E-A-R? Is my soul in position for that? Yeah, my physical body, it doesn't care where it goes. When I used to do prison ministry, I would talk to the inmates, and I can plainly see that their physical bodies were in those rooms as I preached or did Bible study, but I knew that their minds were elsewhere. They were out. They were gone. We want our souls to line up so we can recognize this bad leaven. Amen? We don't want the bad leaven affecting us any longer. Our rallying cry should be, Lord, no more. No more of this leaven infecting me, causing me to alter what I think and what I know and what I see and what I hear and what I do. Amen? So how do you take this beyond the walls? Unlike the Pharisees and the Herodians, who were rooted in unbelief and sin, believers are encouraged to stay the course with Jesus, who will guide us in all of his ways.